Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Drill to right field. That ball is hit well. It's to the wall, and it is gone. Jamer Candelario has his first Tigers home run. He showed some pop in the minor leagues, and that's his first big league homer with the Tigers. Jamer gets one back.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Throw does over the middle.
There you go.
Joe McQuinn, right side, to the house. Count it down with me, folks. 10-5, end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, that is big. How about 2-7, patrolling center field like a safety should.
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Barrett gets the snap, hands it to Weber. Weber sweeping left side of the Rutgers 45 to the 40, 35, 30, down the sideline. Weber to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone goes Mike Weber with a 46-yard touchdown run to increase Ohio State's lead by 6 more.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocks the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0 Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of the cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, here we are. We're at the Superstore. Glad to have you on board. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. And as always, this show, of course, driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. The spring sales event continues here. We'll talk about that as the hour marches on. 5:15 tonight, Rod Beard will join us from Phoenix. The Pistons are out west. They had lost 12 consecutive games on the road. They get a win last night in Sacramento, 106-90. And, you know, just a couple of things I want to touch on with Rod. Number one, Stan Van Gundy. What's his future hold with the Detroit Pistons? Of course, breaking news today that Chauncey Billups, Mr. Big Shot, with his number one, retired, of course, well, in Auburn Hills, now, of course, at Little Caesars Arena, rumored to be becoming a member of the front office of the Detroit Pistons. Tom Gores, the owner of the Pistons, denied that today. We'll get to the bottom of it again with Rod Beard joining us from Phoenix, where the Pistons play tonight. Also want to get a feel from Rod. You know, before he got that Detroit Pistons beat, he was the beat writer for the University of Michigan basketball team. So, again, I can't be more impressed with John Beilein and, you know, what Michigan's doing. You know, pretty close to not advancing in the NCAA Sweet 16, but they're rolling now. I think it's very, very few and far between a team that wins a national championship doesn't at least have one game where they get a break, hit a last-second shot. Something has to happen along the way. I think you'd find that in most cases. And the Michigan getting that, of course, on the pool shot at the buzzer to beat Houston. Now it's Texas A&M. Speaking of which, later in the week, maybe as soon as tomorrow or possibly Thursday, I'm going to take a quick look at my guide and my contact list here and get somebody from Texas A&M on the show. I want a more detailed look who the Michigan Wolverines will play. Maybe that coming up on Wednesday or on Thursday night as well. ARCA, longtime sponsor of this show and, of course, a local organization. They're tied in with both Flat Rock and Toledo Speedway. They had their press conference today down at the Hollywood Casino. And we'll have Natalie Decker on. She drives the number 25 car for Venturini Sports, making 7 career ARCA spots last year in 2017. 2018, she is going to run a full ARCA schedule. So hats off again. Natalie Decker joins us at 5:35 tonight. Red Wings are at home tonight, taking on the Philadelphia Flyers. The Red Wings have lost 10 consecutive games. Philly comes in tonight with a record of 37-25-11, while the Red Wings are 26-25-11. Tigers won today. Boy, getting close to the regular season. Tigers today beat the Yankees by a score of 8-3. I know Martin had a couple of hits this afternoon for the Detroit Tigers. Rodriguez had a hit. Candelario had a hit as well. Tigers, again, win today by a score of 8-3. First thing you look at in the springtime, you look at a Detroit Tiger pitching rotation. Baez started today, went three innings. Green had good work, pitched to three batters. He struck out two of them. Daniel Stump also allowed one hit and had a strikeout. And the rest of the guys, well, Jimenez came in. He had two Ks in one inning's work. Volker, who's making a run at the bullpen, did not have a good day. Gave up three hits and two earned runs. All right, everybody, Rod Beard right around the corner. We're going to talk some basketball, both college and pro, here on Drive Time. As always, this show driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, where the spring sales event marches on.
PN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time tonight, coming to you from the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore right here in the showroom of the spring sales event continues. By the way, 24 Wranglers available at employee pricing. Very popular vehicle, the Wrangler. Come on up. Got a ton of them up here. As low as $188 a month. Natalie Decker, Motorsports race car driver, will join us at 5:35 tonight. She'll be running a full slate. ARCA had their press conference today out at Hollywood Casino. She'll join us at 5:35 tonight to talk a little motorsports. Joining us now from Phoenix, Detroit News writer Rod Beard. Hello, Rod. How are you?
Good afternoon. How are you, Mike?
All right, let's hear it. What's the temperature?
I think it's in the 70s or 80s. I haven't really even checked. I had on a long sleeve t-shirt and I almost imploded because of the heat. So I'll try to pack as much as I can and bring it back to the Midwest when I come.
No, listen, we're ready. You know that. Believe me. Hey, what's going on with this Chauncey Billups situation? Reports all over the place today. Rod, I know that Tom Gores came out and said there's no truth to it. What do you read into it?
Well, I think it's just jockeying right now. If there's any of that conversation that's coming out already, then it's really, to me, it's premature because I'm not convinced that Sam Van Gundy is not going to be back. There's still 12 games to play, and Pistons probably won't make the playoffs. But Stan has some kind of plausible deniability in all of it to say that you bring in a guy like Blake Griffin that's going to change the roster and the way that you do things. Yeah, you're not going to play as well as you would play. And being without your point guard is going to make it difficult also. Any team, you take away their point guard, we see what Golden State's doing without their star players and Steph Curry, one of those, that teams are going to have some difficulty. I'm not 100% convinced that Stan Van Gundy is just not going to be back next season anyway.
Yeah, you know what? But when you read things like, hey, I got enough money, I can sit on my front porch in Michigan, and you know what? I got a place down in Florida. Listen, I understand that's no concrete evidence that he's not going to be back. When you read things like that, myself and other people start thinking that might be the case. I mean, he's frustrated. There's no doubt about it. Went after the officials this week as well. What do you sense? I mean, Rod, you see him on a daily basis, not so much on whether you think he's going to be back or not. Have you seen any mounting evidence of added frustration with the job, especially wearing the two hats?
No, I don't think there's frustration with the job. I think the frustration is just for the second straight year, it's Reggie Jackson's injury that he's missed, 35, 36 games this year, and the number that he missed last year was 30. So you just haven't had the opportunity to have a full, healthy roster. And a lot of that stuff just starting to build up that they had expected to have him back maybe last week or in time for this road trip and not being there. Then you don't have a full complement of your roster. You traded two starters to get Blake Griffin. So you're just a little bit undermanned and you think you have a good plan, but you just haven't been able to execute to the point that you want to. And there are a lot of teams in the league that this year that are doing that same sort of thing. But just seeing Stan every day, I haven't sensed that there's any additional pressure or frustration or he's yelling at players or anything like that. I haven't seen anything like that. I think it's just the losing and not being able to put together what he thought was a good franchise and have a good season with that group. I think that's the frustration he has.
Again, Rod Beard joins us from Phoenix where the Pistons play tonight. Boy, they had lost 12 consecutive games on the road. They pick up a 106-90 win last night in Sacramento. Rod, anything that you can take out of that one?
Well, I think it was one they had to win. If the buzzers would be circling if they had lost to a Kings team that just has not been playing well at all. And tonight they got a Phoenix team that's lost 23 of their last 25. If you can't muster up the talent and the moxie to win these two games, then there really is something going on behind the scenes there.
Hey, was there anybody in Sacramento last night? You mentioned the 23 losses in 25 games. Tell me a little bit about that. I mean, that's got to be a fan base that's a little more than frustrated, I would guess.
Yeah, very frustrated. And it was a pretty good turnout, probably about what the Pistons would get, I'm guessing. But that's the Golden One Center that they've got in Sacramento that was just built last year. And I think that's the only game in town for them. So that is, if you're going to take a night out early in the week, that's what you can do. Tickets are not going to be terribly expensive because of the product they got on the floor. So I think they had a good turnout for what they have. They're excited about that franchise. And talking to some fans, it was just sort of, hey, this is a young roster. They're waiting for them to kind of get mature with De'Aaron Fox and with some of their younger guys, Buddy Hield, to figure it out. And when they do figure it out, they think they have some promise there.
Hey, you know, Rod, I called you for one reason, and I think when I reached out to you today, again, everybody, Rod Beard, Detroit News, a writer, joins us from Phoenix where the Pistons are tonight. I know you were the beat writer for the University of Michigan Wolverines on the basketball beat there, and John Beilein. And you know what? I mean, the more I look at that team, that organization, and Michigan basketball as a whole, boy, I think there's so many things to like about John Beilein. Listen, I'm not the only one talking like this. It's been like this for 3 or 4 days in this area. You were close. Like I just mentioned, you're around Stan Van Gundy on a daily basis. You were around Coach Beilein on almost a daily basis. Tell me a little bit about him.
He's very quiet and reserved. I mean, he knows his basketball. If you want to sit down and chop it up and talk basketball with John Beilein, there might not be a better mind in the Big Ten and in college basketball in terms of X's and O's and what he knows about the game and philosophically what he's trying to do. And that's the big takeaway I always have when talking about John, is that he knows his basketball. If you got any question about anything, that's your guy. But more so, the way that he respects his players and he treats his players is rare also. I've covered a lot of high school guys, some college coaches too, that you just don't see the relationship that he has with them and the trust level that he gives them, but he puts them in a position to succeed in his program and to make them NBA ready. And there's a lot of talk about other coaches in the state and whether they're achieving to the same level as Michigan. I don't like to make those comparisons, but it really is about when kids go to Michigan and they come out and they're ready for the NBA, they are ready for an NBA type game with what they've learned in college. And you just don't see that every place across the country, that coaches are preparing them in that way.
You want to talk about a tremendous answer to my next question, my segue. And of course, we talked about Stan Van Gundy and John Beilein. Are there any connections between communication, obviously one of them, respect for the players? Tell me a little bit of difference here from what you've seen from guys that, quote unquote, everybody believes, and they have a track record to prove it, successful at the pro level as opposed to a college coach. Touch on that if you could, and explain to us, if there is a difference, what that would be.
Yeah, I think it's just communicating and working with players and talking to and letting them know, hey, here's what we think you should do in your preparation for an NBA career, if that's what you want to do. And when you look at guys from that 2013 team, when you're Caris LeVert, your Glenn Robinsons, your Tim Hardaways, Trey Burke, all of those guys were not, when they were recruited, expected to be NBA guys. But he kind of counseled them and said, hey, if you're ready to go, you're ready to go. But if not, I mean, here's the compelling reasons to stay. For Trey Burke, in his case, after his first year, many people thought he was going to go straight to the draft. But I think the conversation with Beilein was more so, you're not ready, stay another year, and you can better equip yourself for an NBA career. Burke became the National Player of the Year and was a first-round draft pick. And his NBA career hasn't exactly panned out the way he wanted it to. But was he prepared to go to the league? Absolutely, with X's and O's and everything else.
Tell me about the pro coach and college coaches. I mean, what's the difference there? Is there a difference?
Oh, I got you. For pro coaches, you've got to have a different level of understanding and dealing with players and how you communicate with them. With college players, you can say, hey, when something goes wrong or you miss a play or you do something in practice, go run the stairs or you can do something. That doesn't happen in the NBA because the players in some cases are making more than the coach does. And so you've got to be able to manage and handle and build relationships with them in a completely different way in the pros. And that's the hard part for most coaches. But with Stan Van Gundy, there is no going above the coach's head to go talk to the general manager because Van Gundy is the president. So he's in a special position where he's got the hammer in all of those deals, is that he can say, hey, we can trade this person if we don't think that that's going to be it. He's almost the one who has the ability to make the meal and to buy the ingredients for it. And that's enabled him to have a certain relationship with players to just say, hey, you've got to be firm in some cases, but then you got to understand that you got to communicate with them as well.
Brad, I wrote down some teams here, Toronto, Boston, of course, the Cavaliers, Portland, pretty good year, Oak City, Golden State, you mentioned the injuries, Houston, San Antonio, probably not. At this juncture, you mentioned a dozen games to go, Rod Beard. Who do you like? I mean, give me a couple teams out of the East and a couple out of the West. I'm guessing the teams I just mentioned that would be on that list.
Yeah, I think those are the ones, and certainly I think in the East you look at Boston and Toronto. I'm not quite convinced on Toronto yet because they just haven't done it. In Boston, the same sort of way. I like Cleveland because LeBron is the great equalizer in all of these things. It doesn't matter what seed they have, and we saw that last year when Boston had the number one seed, that it didn't matter. When it came down to it and it was time to play for the right to go to the finals, Cleveland was just able to sweep them out and do what they needed to do. And I think the same still applies. They're still getting their roster together after the big trade at the deadline, but it's just going to be, when it comes down to it, does LeBron have the will to carry his team past Toronto or past Boston? I think he does. I think that's always going to win out unless you get some type of supreme performance from a Kyrie or from a DeMar DeRozan that you're not looking for at this point. And in the West, the same issue I have with Houston. You've got two guys who haven't achieved at that level in Chris Paul and James Harden. Can they overcome all of those demons that they have in their mind to try to overcome Golden State, who's a little bit injured right now, but by the time you talk playoffs and getting to the Western Conference Finals, I think they'll be healthy.
Good stuff, Rod. Thanks for taking the time. Appreciate it. We'll be reading tomorrow, and great hearing your voice.
Anytime. I appreciate it. Thank you, Mike.
Rod Baird, Detroit News. He's with the Pistons in Phoenix. Also touched on some Michigan basketball as well. They got A&M, by the way. What's the schedule on that one? Pre-game show, 98.3, Jim?
Absolutely. On Thursday, we'll have that Michigan game. 7 o'clock will be the pregame time over on 98.3 Nash Icon. Here on the ticket, we'll be jumping around, courtesy of our friends at West, one of all the Sweet 16 coverage. That starts Thursday.
Good stuff. All right, everybody. TAS Electronic update right around the corner. This is Drive Time, driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Spring sales event continues. Again, 24 Wranglers available. Employee pricing, $700 rebate as well, as low as $188 a month. Come on up and see us. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com.
Talking local sports, it's Drive Time on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time. Coming to you tonight from the Superstore with a spring sales event. March is on. Talked a little basketball at 5:15 tonight. It was Rod Beard coming to us live from Phoenix. Pistons are there tonight. As I mentioned, Rod also covered the University of Michigan for the Detroit News, so we talked some John Beilein as well. So a little basketball talk. Jim gave you the updates. Tigers beat the Yankees today in preseason baseball. Joining us now, she was at the Hollywood Casino in downtown Toledo, ARCA driver Natalie Decker. Hello, Natalie. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Well, I understand. Listen, we got, excuse me, pretty good information today from the Hollywood Casino. Jim, take over 1 second for me, could you please?
No, absolutely. And, yeah, you guys out there, Natalie, you had the press conference earlier today at the casino for this upcoming ARCA season. And obviously it's getting into one of those fun time of year as we're getting ready to start the racing season. So I'll start off, Natalie, what is it you want to accomplish in this upcoming season?
Well, that's a really good question. I want to accomplish a lot. This will be my first full season with the ARCA series, and I have a few goals. You know, my goals will change every time I'm at a new track or a different track. But my two main goals are getting Rookie of the Year at the end of the year and running top five at all the races, which will really help getting Rookie of the Year.
And obviously, yeah, that definitely would if you are able to pull that off. Are there any particular racetracks you're looking forward to other than hopefully the Speedway or here in Toledo? Any other tracks you're really eager to get out there on?
Well, we just came back from Daytona not too long ago, and that was cool. I got the pole, and we got fifth in the race. So after running on my first Super Speedway, I'm definitely really excited for Talladega. I'm excited to come back to Toledo because that's where I made my first ARCA start last year. So I can't wait to get back there. And I also did a super late race at the end of the year last year there. I love that track. And then there's another track I'm excited to get to, and that's Elko in Minnesota. And I've raced there a lot, in a super late, in a limited late, in all sorts of cars. So I have a little bit more experience at that track. So I'm excited to get to Elko too.
No, thanks, Jim, and I think Natalie nailed a very good question indeed. The pole, of course, at Daytona, obviously a career highlight as well. And again, Natalie Decker joins us. ARCA had their press conference today out at Hollywood Casino. You know, I was reading your bio today, and of course your dad was involved in the Snowmobile Derby in Eagle River, Wisconsin, not exactly one of the Carolinas when it comes to racing. But tell me how you got into this. I guess you were very persistent that you wanted to get the racing career underway with the go-karts and basically pestered your dad. You got one, and the rest is history.
Yeah, pretty much. I begged him. Since I wanted to race go-karts since I was 6 years old. That's when I saw my first go-kart race. And I told him, I was like, Dad, this is what I want to do. Like, I want to race NASCAR. Let's start in go-karts. And he didn't believe me. It took him a while. But for my 9th birthday, he got me one. And it was purple and sparkly, and it had his number on it, 04. So I fell in love with the go-kart. I'm pretty sure I, like, fainted when he showed it to me. I was so excited. And, the rest is history.
No, what a great story. And, you know, I guess the other side of this, again, is Natalie Decker joins us here. She's driving the number 25 and 29 Capital Partners Toyota this year for ARCA. But tell me about that a little bit. You know what? I had Brendan Gaughan on this show not too long ago, and he's a guy that played college basketball. And we got talking about, you know, that long debate about whether – guys that drive race cars and motorsports are indeed athletes. And I saw a photograph of you today through social media. I got to tell you, when it comes to size, you're not the biggest girl in the world, but tell me about handling those cars.
It's definitely very athletic, I think. I get tired. I'm pretty sure every race car driver out there, it's very tiring. It's really mental. If you're tired at the end of the race, you're mentally not going to be there. So to stay in the gym and be in shape so you can stay there and not fall out of the seat at the end of the race is very important.
You know what? You've had a little bit of luck at Toledo last year as well. And anybody, Natalie, we've had on here that talks about racing at Toledo Speedway, they talk about the speed of the track and the competitive nature of that track. Tell us a little bit about the hometown track here.
Yeah, so Toledo, that was my first ARCA race, my first time at Toledo, and it was a little intimidating at first. It's fast, really fast. You wouldn't think it would be fast. It's a little track, but it's so fast. I fell in love with the track, and I told my dad that we had to come back and race it again that year, and that's why we came back in the super late, and I hope to do that again. This year, at the end of the year, I'd be able to come back and race my super late there because it is a wonderful racetrack to race at.
No, I see a couple of races a year. You finished 11th last year. Anybody over the years, besides, sounds like your dad was so instrumental in your career, Natalie Decker again joins us here on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. Anybody that that races professionally that you've looked up to or tried to pattern your career about?
I've looked up to so many drivers, and I look up to, like, all the Cup guys, everyone up there racing. And this year and last year, I really started looking up to Martin Truex. He's, and the year before. So, like, the last 3 years, I've been a huge Martin Truex fan. And he's so good at mile and a half. And this past year, I struggled. I did 2 mile and a half, and they're hard to learn. So I was really looking up to Martin, and I was like, I'm going to get as good as he is at mile and a half. That is my goal.
Well, it's a great to set a goal. I know Martin Truex Jr. won this past weekend. You know, if everything goes right, and I don't want to put a jinx on you here, Natalie Decker, if everything goes according to plan here, how many years away from NASCAR for you in your eyes?
Well, you know, I'm doing a full season in ARCA this year, and then I would just like to take it step by step, you know, keep moving up every year and make it to the Cup Series. That's my goal. So just take it series by series, and, you know, the next step is truck, so that will be my next goal to get into that.
You know, I noticed, too, you got a veteran crew chief as well. Big help, I'm sure.
Yeah, Dave Liner. So when I signed my 3 races last year, I only signed 3 races right away. And Dave Liner was my crew chief for only 2 of them. But I, like, fell in love with him. I was like, I need him for all 3 races. And then every race we kept adding on, I was like, I need to be in the 25 car with Dave. He's so amazing. He's truly a teacher, and he is so patient. And he is there for my best interest, and he helps me so much, and he sets really good goals for me, and I'm so happy he is my crew chief.
Natalie Decker drives at number 25 and 29 Capital Partners Toyota. She's running a full ARCA schedule this year. Tell me a little bit about the fear factor, if you would. I mean, listen, I think anybody that's covered the sport's been, you know, given the opportunity to get in a race car and go around the track. I've done it a number of times. I got to tell you, not the easiest way to make a living, and you started this at a very, very young age. And tell me about the speed. Tell me about, you know, what's going through your mind when you're obviously trying to handle that car.
Well, at a very young age, that's really what I fell in love with, is the speed and, you know, learning different tracks, going to different racetracks. I started out in go-karts, so we traveled all over, and we did road courses, and that's how I got started in racing, in go-karts. So I loved it. I loved the speed. I loved the competition. And what else I really love about racing is it's like a big family, and everyone, you know, maybe not on the racetrack, you're always friends, but once you get off the racetrack and you're all hanging out, it's like a big family.
Now, good stuff. We'll see you in Toledo. We'll see you up at MIS as well. We normally do this show, Natalie, from MIS and on the ARCA race up there as well. So thanks for coming on. I hope you enjoyed your stay here in Toledo, and appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
That's Natalie Decker. She drives a number 25 car, N29 Capital Partners. That's a Toyota, by the way, who's had a pretty good year as well. All right, everybody, this is Drive Time. Jim, thanks for helping me out there. Lost my voice in the first question, and I love it when they come back. And the first thing out of Natalie's mouth was, that's a good question. That tells you Jim's a pro. Back with more after this.